You're flying across country. The morning briefing showed scattered clouds at 3,000. Tops around 4, mostly west of your route. The forecast called for improvement by noon. You departed at 10:30, an hour in. The ground is still visible. Barely, but visible. The ceiling has dropped, but you tell yourself it's just a local area. It'll open back up. You've been in tighter spots. 10 minutes later, you look up and the horizon is gone. Then the ground is gone, and you're inside a cloud, wings level, no visual reference and no instrument rating. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern. You're listening to Radio Hangar. What I just described isn't a rarity. It happens to real pilots, in real airplanes, and the survival rate is not good. Today, we're walking through the visual flight rules into instrument meteorological condition scenario, from the very beginning, looking at every decision point along the way, and talking about what you need to have already decided before you ever get close to that moment. Before we get into the scenario, let me give you some numbers from the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, or AOPA, Air Safety Institute. Flying Visual Flight Rules, or VFR, into Instrument Meteorological Conditions, or IMC, accounts for a small percentage of general aviation accidents. But it accounts for a disproportionately large share of the fatal ones. We're talking about a fatality rate approaching 90% in VFR into IMC accidents. 90%. That is not a statistical footnote. That is the deadliest category of accident a VFR pilot can be in. And here's the part that should stop you cold. These aren't accidents that happen to reckless pilots who go looking for trouble. Many of them happened to pilots with hundreds of hours. Pilots who knew better. Pilots who had just received a weather briefing. The question isn't whether those pilots knew VFR into IMC was dangerous. They did. The question is how they ended up there anyway. Real quick, before we go further, shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private, pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. Now, let me walk you through how this actually happens. Because the scenario almost never starts with a pilot who looks at a solid wall of clouds and says, "I'm flying through that." That's not how it works. It starts with a weather picture that looks flyable, some ambiguity in the forecast, and a plan that already has momentum behind it. Here's the typical setup. You have somewhere to be. A family event, a business meeting, a fly-in you have been looking forward to for months. You've planned this trip for days. You have a route, you have fuel stops figured out, you checked the weather last night, and it looked reasonable. You check it again in the morning, and there are some clouds, some areas of reduced visibility, but nothing that screams, "Don't go." The forecast calls for improvement. You decide to go, with the mental note that you'll keep an eye on things. That mental note is where the first decision point lives, and it's also where most pilots make the mistake that starts the chain. The decision to go isn't the mistake. Checking the weather and making a go decision is completely legitimate. The mistake is going without a specific predefined set of criteria for turning back or diverting. Not a vague "I'll keep an eye on things." An actual number. An actual standard. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Before you ever leave the ground on a marginal VFR day, decide in advance. Write it down if you have to. I will maintain visual flight if the ceiling drops below this altitude. I turn back or I divert. If forward visibility drops below this distance, I land at the nearest airport. No negotiations, no extensions, no just one more mile. You make that call on the ground, in the planning room, where there's no pressure, no fatigue, no sunk cost pulling you forward. Because here's what happens to that mental note once you're airborne. Once you've been flying for 45 minutes and you're halfway to your destination and the fuel stop is only another 30 minutes ahead, the mental note doesn't get evaluated objectively. It gets negotiated. The ceiling is a little lower, sure, but you can still see the ground. Visibility is down to maybe 4 miles instead of 6, but 4 miles is legal. You tell yourself it's just a narrow band of weather. You tell yourself the forecast said improving. This is called planned continuation bias. It's a real phenomenon studied extensively by human factors researchers and well documented in accident reports. Once we have invested time and distance and expectation into a plan, we are psychologically resistant to abandoning it. The farther we get, the more it hurts to turn around. And the more it hurts to turn around, the more our minds work to justify continuing. The National Transportation Safety Board, or NTSB, accident database is full of VFR into IMC cases where the pilot had received a weather briefing that should have raised red flags. Data recorders and witnesses showed a gradual deterioration over time. The pilot didn't fly into a wall of fog. They flew through a series of small threshold crossings, each one manageable, each one not quite enough to trigger the turn that would have saved their life. So, let's talk about those thresholds. Specifically, the Airman Certification Standards, or ACS, for the private pilot check ride require you to demonstrate understanding of VFR weather minimums, and your examiner is going to ask you what you do when the weather deteriorates. Knowing the legal minimums is the baseline, but knowing the legal minimums is not the same as having a personal decision framework that actually keeps you alive. The legal minimums for class golf airspace are a 1,000-foot ceiling and 3 miles visibility. Do not use those as your personal minimums. Not as a student, not as a newly certificated private pilot. The margin between the legal minimum and the weather that will kill you is too thin for a pilot without experience in those conditions. A better personal standard, if you are a VFR-only pilot without a solid instrument scan, is to treat conditions below a 3,000-foot ceiling and 5 miles visibility as conditions to avoid, not tolerate. That is not a regulation. It is judgment. And judgment is what keeps you alive on the days the regulations technically permit flight, but the situation doesn't. Now, let's say you didn't set those personal minimums before departure, or you set them and then negotiated yourself past them, and now the visibility is deteriorating, and you're not sure where the cloud base is because you can't see it from below. What do you do? This is decision point two, and you need to act here before you get to decision point three. Decision point two is the moment you realize the weather is getting worse and you're not sure it's going to get better. That moment of uncertainty is your signal to act, not to watch it for another 5 minutes, not to see if it opens up past the next ridgeline. The moment you're uncertain about what's ahead, you turn around. Because the weather behind you is the weather you just flew through. You know, it's flyable. The weather ahead is unknown. This is counterintuitive for the same reason plan continuation bias is counterintuitive. Turning back feels like failure, it is not. Turning back is one of the best decisions a pilot can make. The pilots who make that call routinely are the pilots who keep flying for decades. Here is a practical technique. At every waypoint on a marginal VFR day, ask yourself one question. If the weather ahead is worse than what I can see right now, am I okay with that? If the answer is no, you don't continue. You divert to an alternate or you turn back. Make that assessment every 15 minutes or every 30 miles, whichever comes first. It keeps you from sliding down the deterioration curve one manageable step at a time. Now, decision point three. This is where it gets critical. This is when the weather closes in fast, not gradually fast. You look up and the ceiling is right above you. You look forward and the visibility collapses. And before you have fully processed what's happening, you are in IMC. What do you do? The first thing is to trust your instruments. I know that sounds obvious, but understand what I'm saying. Your body is going to tell you things that are wrong. Your sense of which way is up, your sense of bank angle, your sense of whether you're climbing or descending, all of that comes from your vestibular system. And your vestibular system is not reliable in IMC. This is not a character flaw or a training deficiency. It is physiology. The vestibular system is not designed to give you attitude information in three-dimensional space without visual references. It is designed for walking upright on flat ground. The leading cause of loss of control in VFR into IMC accidents is spatial disorientation. The pilot feels like the airplane is doing one thing when it is doing another. They react to what they feel rather than what the instruments show. The graveyard spiral is the classic example. The airplane enters a shallow bank. The pilot doesn't feel it because the vestibular system adapts to gradual rotation. The bank gradually steepens. The nose drops. The airspeed builds. The pilot feels like they're in a level descent and pulls back on the controls. The bank is still there, so pulling back tightens the spiral instead of recovering from it. Airspeed continues to climb. Structure fails. This can happen in less than 90 seconds, less than 90 seconds from entering IMC to loss of control. So the instrument scan is not a nice to have, it is a survival tool. Even at the private pilot level, you need a working understanding of how to maintain attitude using the attitude indicator, altimeter, and airspeed indicator. You don't need to fly a precision instrument approach. You need to keep the wings level and the airplane in controlled flight long enough to get help. Wings level first. Attitude indicator. Wings level. Bring the nose to level flight. Don't try to climb. Don't try to descend. Wings level, establish a consistent heading and fly the instruments. Then talk. Squawk 7700 and contact Air Traffic Control or ATC immediately. Your exact phraseology matters less than you think. Something like, "Center, I'm a VFR pilot. I've inadvertently entered IMC. I need immediate assistance." ATC will take it from there. They will give you a vector to clear airspace. They will find the nearest airport with approaches. They will help you descend to visual conditions if visual conditions exist within a reasonable distance. Consider declaring an emergency. That gives ATC the full picture, and it clears the decks for priority handling. There is no paperwork in the world worth more than your life, and the emergency declaration is the tool that gets you every resource ATC has available. Now, about the 180 turn. This one gets debated constantly, and I want to give you a nuanced view. If you inadvertently enter IMC and you are still in the first 10 or 15 seconds of it, if you are confident the weather behind you is clear, because you literally just flew through it, and if you can execute a coordinated controlled 180 using your instruments, then yes, a 180 can get you back to visual conditions quickly. But here is the trap. The 180 assumes the weather behind you is better. If you've been flying for 20 minutes in deteriorating conditions, what's behind you has had 20 minutes to deteriorate further. The 180 also requires you to execute a coordinated turn using your instruments at a moment of maximum stress in conditions that are fighting your spatial orientation. If you haven't practiced this under the hood with a certified flight instructor, or CFI, it is harder than it sounds. The right approach is to have practiced this before the moment arrives. Your CFI should be introducing you to unusual attitude recovery and basic instrument flying under the view-limiting device early in your training. The ACS for the private pilot certificate requires basic instrument maneuvers. Your examiner is going to put the foggles on you and ask you to maintain controlled flight. This is not a formality. It is the skill that gives you those 90 seconds to get help. Let me walk you through what practical preparation actually looks like. On your next lesson, ask your CFI to put the foggles on you and practice maintaining straight and level flight, then a turn, then a climb and descent, all on instruments. Not because you're going for an instrument rating, because the day your VFR flight turns into something else, you want those minutes of practice in the memory bank. And before your next cross country on any day with clouds in the forecast, write down your personal weather minimums, ceiling, visibility. What conditions you will not depart in, what conditions will cause you to divert immediately, how often you'll check weather against those minimums during flight. Write it down, commit to it, because the decision made on the ground in calm air before you have 45 minutes of flight and a family reunion waiting at the other end is an honest decision. The decision made in the cockpit with all of that pulling at you is not. The AOPA Air Safety Institute has a free course specifically on VFR into IMC. It walks through the accident chain in detail and gives you the decision framework in a structured way. I recommend it to every student pilot and every pilot who doesn't hold an instrument rating. The bottom line is this: VFR into IMC is survivable. When you catch it early, when you have personal minimums, when you have a decision framework you committed to before departure, when you trust your instruments in the moment, and when you talk to ATC immediately, it is nearly unsurvivable when you let planned continuation bias push you past the point where those tools still work. Make the call on the ground. Decide what your limits are before the pressure is on. And then fly to those limits with the same discipline you'd want from every other pilot sharing your airspace. Information for this segment comes from the AOPA Air Safety Institute, the NTSB General Aviation Accident Records, and the FAA's Civil Aerospace Medical Institute Research on Spatial Disorientation. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Keep the wings level and the weather honest.